Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One game left in week 13 of the NFL season. How is that possible? How is it December? These are not questions that I can answer. They are much more rhetorical. So glad to have you with us. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, whether you were home, whether you were on the road, whether you ate three desserts like we had in our house for four people, or whether you decided to go atypical and unconventional for your Thanksgiving. I just hope it was full of family, or friends who are like family, food, fun, some football, faith in there. That matters too. A lot to be thankful for as we head into the final month of the year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got the After Hours Monday MVP poll just posted in the past few minutes. And boy, do we have some dynamite candidates. It's not often that we end up with three quarterbacks in the poll, but it's hard to ignore the prowess of the three that we have chosen, two of whom we've talked about, one of whom we will get to at the bottom of this hour, and then the NFL's leading rusher, who is now over 1,500 yards, Saquon Barkley. He joins our QB. So take the poll for Monday MVP. That'll be up for the next 24 hours. We'll do the big reveal coming up on our next show, which will be kind of post-Thanksgiving when all of the audience is back together. I know on this Sunday night into Monday morning, you've got people who are still traveling, transitioning after the holiday weekend, maybe working from home on Monday and hoping to get a couple of extra minutes of sleep. That's what travel with 80 million of your closest friends will do for you. It wears you out. But regardless, we've got a lot to get to in these next few days. Likely won't have much time to spend on college football on this edition of the show. We still want to get to what happened with the Bears on Thursday and Friday. Of course, the Chiefs eking out another win, and this time they do it to clinch a playoff spot. So a lot has happened over the course of the Thanksgiving weekend. We're going to need a couple more shows to get completely caught up. 855-212-4227. Our Facebook page will get that post up as well for Monday MVP. But thanks so much for joining us. Good morning to you. It's Aaron Rodgers' birthday. Maybe it means nothing to you. I wonder what it means to him as he turns 41 years old. Sticking in LA for these next few minutes because both the Chargers and Rams had a lot to play for on Sunday. Both of them, by the way, on the road. Chargers coming off of the Harbaugh and then had to travel to Atlanta. Okay, so you had the Ravens and the Chargers in Los Angeles on Monday night. That was the big Harbaugh, but they've got to turn around on a short work week and get to the East Coast to take on the team that was leading the NFC South in the Atlanta Falcons. And when you think about this game, maybe you won't remember a lot of details. I wouldn't say that it was any type of a game that offenses would like to write home about. In fact, it was really the complete opposite with the defense. But it's significant for LA and for Jim Harbaugh because, remember, they lost J.K. Dobbins, so he's on IR with a knee injury. and really struggled to run the ball in this game. But what do we know about Jim Harbaugh's teams? When he puts his stamp on a program, when he begins to build a winning culture, it usually comes from the defensive side of the ball first. And we saw that over and over again in this game between the Chargers and the Falcons.
Bunch formation right. Kyle Pitts left. Bijan in the backfield. They take the snap. Looking right. Throwing right. Intercepted. Left sideline. 30. 20. Tar. Heeb. Still. Touchdown, Chargers! Oh, fear the turtle. The rookie with his third interception of the season, the second of this game, and he takes it all the way to pay dirt. Cousins, here comes Joey. Cousins climbs the pocket, throws to the end zone, intercepted! Welcome to the Bolts, Marcus May! Signed on Wednesday, interception on Sunday. What a play. Third interception thrown by Cousins in this contest. And the Bolts will take over at their 20.
It's been a journey. Been up and down. Been on three or four flights in the past 3 days, 4 days. So to finally get here, get on the grass, and play football is definitely something to settle into, and I'm glad it's finally done.
You think you had a crazy Thanksgiving travel routine. Well, how about Marcus May, who speaks to Sports Central LA following this victory? This is a guy who was with Miami. Now, that's not his first stop in the NFL, but most recently was with Miami, cleared waivers, ends up playing. He joins the Chargers, so he ends up with the Chargers in L.A. and then has to turn around and fly with them to Atlanta. So he's back and forth, though. Charter, not a bad way to go. But Marcus May ends up picking off Kirk Cousins, along with Tarheeb Still, who has two interceptions off Cousins. These all coming in the earlier stages of the game. His pick six is in the late third quarter then. And so the Chargers defense is really making mincemeat. Ooh, mincemeat pie. Isn't that a Thanksgiving staple? Making mincemeat pie out of Kirk Cousins. But Atlanta was also having some success on the defensive side of the ball, scoring a touchdown after Hassan Haskins fumbled on LA's opening drive, and Bijan Robinson ends up in the end zone. And so you each, in this game, you each, each defense was making big plays and leading to opportunities, putting the ball back in the hands of its quarterbacks, putting the ball back in the hands of its offenses. Though, a lot of missed opportunities, right? The Chargers go 0-for-2 in the red zone. They have to settle for Cameron Dicker field goals over and over. Again, mentioned it was tougher for them to move the ball because J.K. Dobbins is on IR. Meanwhile, Atlanta, despite the three interceptions for Kirk Cousins and the pick six, is trailing by four and has the ball in the final 6 minutes of this one. Cousins is able to go to Drake London a couple of times, two chunk plays, and then facing a fourth down with the game hanging in the balance.
47 seconds left. Cousins, Robinson to his left. Looking middle of the field. No pressure. Throws and intercepted. Derwin James ends the game. To it, Derwin. The fourth interception thrown by Cousins, and Derwin, who has made huge plays all game long, gets his first pick of the season, the ninth of his career, and due to their defense, the Bolts are going to get on a plane back to Los Angeles with a victory.
You know, it hurts when you feel like your defense played winning football. You feel like your special teams made big plays. Felt like, you know, run game did a solid job. I got to play better. And so, you know, take responsibility and you go back and you're kind of, you know, have to watch it with a really critical eye and talk about, okay, how can I make sure this never happens again?
That's the voice of Kirk Cousins, the veteran QB signed by the Falcons in the offseason after Raheem Morris took over as the head coach. Now, according to Morris, he's not even considering a change at quarterback, so don't think you're going to see Michael Penix, the rookie that they stunned the NFL world by drafting number eight overall, that they grabbed Penix right after they had signed Kirk Cousins to the big contract. In fact, Raheem Morris said, "He's carried us," meaning Kirk, "he's carried us through this season." And so they're not in any way looking to make a quarterback change. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. But those four interceptions, including that last one on what was the Falcons' last-ditch effort, means that they had, are you ready for this? Four turnovers in 10 drives. Atlanta only had 10 drives in this game. And nearly half the time, those drives ended with the Chargers taking over the football. The only L.A. touchdown comes off the defense taking away and scoring a Kirk Cousins interception. All right, so that should show you how much of a defensive struggle this was. Justin Herbert got sacked a ton. In fact, five times. The Chargers only had 10 first downs. So this was not a great offensive day for either team. Probably understandable considering that Jim Harbaugh's crew had a short work week and extra travel.
It's a beautiful thing we're witnessing. Complimentary, winning football. Yeah, we got, there's at times that we weren't at our best offensively. And then, you know, that two-point conversion is, that's as big as any two-point conversion you could have in a game. It made all the difference at the end.
Jim Harbaugh, thrilled for his team, thrilled that they have now gotten off to their best start since 2018. So think about that. The Chargers are 8-4, and they're right there. I wouldn't say just in the mix for a playoff spot. I would say they are one of the teams that you need to watch as you start to think about the NFL postseason.
8-4 is what we are. Yeah. That was one heck of a win right there. And I got to tell you, man, I'm just thankful you overcame my coaching decisions. And I just wanted, hey, you know how big that win is?
Yes, sir.
You may never have a bigger win than that right there. That was huge. Short week coming in here. I'm not going to use the terms like gritty and all that's been used, but that was one heck of a tough-ass win you came in here and got.
Yes, sir.
Just get the whole defense up here. The whole defense.
Just a sampling of the energy that you get from Jim Harbaugh. And we had just done an interview not long ago, I guess 2 weeks ago, with the Chargers sideline reporter. And that's what she talked about, the energy. It's indefatigable with Jim Harbaugh. I think about the Falcons, and I know people are going to blame Kirk Cousins. It's not that easy. They did get the five sacks in this game, which is an aberration for them. The worst pass rush in the NFL should tell you something about how the Falcons' defense stood up. And so they were able to get to the QB in this one, but still giving up a lot of yards. Ladd McConkey, he ends up with 9 catches for over 100 yards. He's been a real bright spot for this new-look Chargers offense.
Short week, we got straight to work. We lost last week. We wanted to get that taste out of our mouth, so it was good to come in here, get a dub, and, you know, get rolling on the back half of the season.
As you can imagine, that's on CBS, by the way, following the game. As you can imagine, it's frustrating for the Falcons when they waste great performances like Bijan. Over 100 yards, he's got the touchdown, but really the interceptions are, they're back-breaking. They're killer, and Kirk Cousins knows that. They would tell you that when you look at the NFC South standings, and we'll talk more about it when we get to that Buccaneers-Panthers game. But now Falcons and Bucks are both sitting at 6-6. So once again, this division is mediocre and still up for grabs. Let's talk about the LA Rams. So they were on the road, though, in New Orleans, not all the way over on the East Coast in the Eastern time zone like the Chargers. And this was just another weird game, too, right, where the offense was tough to come by initially. The New Orleans Saints were up 6-0 at the half. 6-0. Okay, let's go. Somebody ate too much Thanksgiving turkey, a little bit too much stuffing. L.A. didn't even get into the red zone in the first half of this game. But it was a 6-minute possession to start the second half. And I guess better late than never, right? Isn't that? Or how about this? Hollywood types, they would tell you fashionably late. So the Rams were fashionably late to their party post-Thanksgiving. Really, the Rams look like a different team coming out of the halftime locker room. And the spark came virtue of their terrific running back.
Second down from just inside the 5. Left side handoff. Kyren Williams picking his way, riding his surge all the way into the end zone. Touchdown, Rams. Kyren Kyren Williams celebrates. And how about the offensive line paving the way to pay dirt? We're tied at six with 8:50 to go in the third. An extra point will give LA the lead.
So LA ends up scoring touchdowns on three of four drives in the second half. Where that was in the first half, nobody knows. Again, maybe a little bit too much pumpkin pie. I like extra Ready Whip on mine. But Matthew Stafford throws not one, but two fourth quarter touchdowns.
Angle from the seven. They shoot it down the line. Right side. Puka's got it. He finds his way in behind his blocks. Cooper Kupp, Colby Parkinson paving the way to pay dirt. Touchdown, Puka Nacua. Touchdown, L.A. With 8:54 to go in regulation, Alaric Jackson gets to spike it. The left tackle celebrates. The Rams are in front 20-14.
Do yourself a favor and find a package of Puka highlights from this game. The Rams, they post him on social, or just go and Google Puka Nacua. He had a diving catch, one in which he lays out toward the sideline, hauls it in, also gets that touchdown in traffic, giant smiles. The Matthew Stafford that we saw in the second half is the Matthew Stafford that we've known most of his career. He also has a huge pass to DeMarcus Robinson, 46-yarder that sets up his other fourth quarter touchdown. So the Rams just, they didn't find any rhythm, any room to do anything in the first half. And I suppose that's a credit to the Saints, but it more felt like the Rams were sluggish and just not comfortable yet after Thanksgiving. Kyren Williams, he was amazing though from start to finish. 15 carries, 104 yards, and the score.
Felt like I was me, myself, and I was out there playing like that, and I was playing instinctual football. I had great energy, and I was, you know, disturbing that along amongst the team, and you know, we was just out there playing ball and having fun. So it feels good, honestly. It feels good to get back to me.
You got to keep playing football. This is a, you know, it's a game of ebbs and flows. Very rarely do you, you know, go down, score 14 points, and just run away with the football game, you know. So your time's going to come. You got to find those opportunities. And when they come, you got to capitalize on them. We were able to do that in the red zone today, which was big.
So the Rams rally. They get the victory against the Saints. In fact, it was the defense that came up with a late sack on Derek Carr. Initially, they called it sack and fumble. Then after replay review, they termed that his arm was coming forward, and so instead it was an incomplete pass on fourth down. Regardless, happens in the red zone with a minute and 13 seconds to go. But it goes from bad to worse. So adding injury to insult, this is also a drive in which Taysom Hill injured his knee. He's really the Swiss Army knife for the New Orleans Saints. He's one of their longest tenured players. He's been there and been available to do anything they ask of him. Rush the ball, pass the ball, catch the ball. The guy goes out and blocks when they need him to. But he ends up landing hard on... Actually, I take that back. That was a different play. That was Christian McCaffrey. Taysom has his leg. I can see it now in my mind. Taysom has his leg bent really awkwardly, like a hyperextension, if you will, and then a twist as he's coming down in a scrum, in a tackle late in this game. And so he was carted off. And according to Darren Rizzi, they're not optimistic.
I'm by no means a medical person, so I've heard, you know, I'm not going to go down that road because I've heard bad things before and it's good, and I've heard good things before and it's bad. So we'll just let the medical thing play out.
What we did hear, though, is that it doesn't look good and it could end up being a season-ending knee injury. Taysom's been injured a lot this year, and yet he comes back, but this might be too much to come back from. Also, if you missed it, early in the game between the Bills and the Niners in the snow, Christian McCaffrey suffered a knee injury. He was able to limp off, but he had to go immediately to the blue tent. And what we heard from Kyle Shanahan after the game is that it's potentially, it might be, those were his words, it might be a season-ending PCL injury, which sucks. I mean, maybe you don't think the Niners are going anywhere. They're last place in the NFC West, behind the Rams, actually. So right now, you've got the Seahawks on top. We'll get to the Cardinals game today against the Vikings, but Cardinals and Rams were 6-6, and then the Niners are 5-7. But McCaffrey had just played four games since missing all of the first half with that tendonitis in his Achilles and then bothering his calves as well. And he's just feeling more like himself. He's starting to tear it up in the snow. only to then suffer an injury, and he could be out for the rest of the way. Trevor Lawrence gets knocked out by a concussion, courtesy of Azeez Al-Shaair. He's going to end up paying a hefty fine, courtesy of the NFL. And so there were some pretty serious injuries, as always, every week that this happens. It's the downside of the NFL. 855-212-4227. At Amy After Hours, and then our Facebook page too. You can vote for Monday MVP. We'll get that poll up right now on Facebook. If you missed it, brand new YouTube video in honor of the Thanksgiving holiday. And honestly, while you're seeing it on YouTube, you have to think about that being our first live broadcast on Twitch. What? We packaged it for you to see on YouTube, but it was actually live on the air. We've never done that before. That was on Wednesday morning, our first ever Turkey Day draft. My family got really mad at me, producer Pete, for picking lasagna. What? Lasagna? Are you kidding me? So yeah, they were not having the fact that I went with lasagna as one of my mystery picks.
I have to disagree with them. Lasagna is beautiful.
It is beautiful, but they never considered it on a Thanksgiving table. Also, they were kind of blown away by the brisket. But the power of suggestion, because I had a bunch of people reach out to me and say now they want some brisket after watching the video. Again, captured on YouTube, but it was live on Twitch. We'll try that again sometime. Straight ahead, let's talk about the Cardinals and the Vikings and a game that went down to the wire. You may not believe that the Vikings are all that good for the same reason that you don't believe the Chiefs are all that good. Although Sam Darnold, Patrick Mahomes, not the same quarterback. The Vikings scrape by. They fight, they scratch, they claw. They come up with ways to win when sometimes it feels like they have no business winning. Similar to the Patrick Mahomes-led Chiefs. The difference is, of course, the experience in the postseason and obviously the quarterback caliber. But we know that the Vikings have staying power. We know they have weapons. We know they've got a defense. And they were having the opportunity to practice intense pressure cooker situations once again on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
First and 10 at the 15 of Minnesota. The Cardinals looking to go up two scores. They lead by six. 4:43 to play in the third. Spread formation, empty backfield for Murray. Three-step drop, moves to his right. Now looks, right side, lobs it. Back of the end zone. Harrison secures it. It's a touchdown. Marvin Harrison Jr. pulls it in. Big score for the Cardinals to go up 18-6.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's the call on the Cardinals Radio Network with Dave Pasch. And I think I missed also giving you the credit for the Chargers Radio Network, which is Matt Smith. Sometimes I get caught up in all the play-by-play and my notes and everything that's happening. I don't want to not give credit where credit is due. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Hey, did you know the Cardinals were 1-for-6 in the red zone against the Vikings on Sunday? That is significant, as in significant opportunities that they did not capitalize on. And I feel like I say that a lot these days. But that really is part of the name of the game for offense, is you've got to consistently take advantage of your trips into the red zone. All field goals on the board for Arizona until middle of the third quarter, when Kyler looks more fluid, looks more comfortable in the passing attack, and that sets up the Marvin Harrison TD, the seventh of the year for his rookie receiver. But Minnesota answers in, I would say, a similar way, in that they also settle in and they're able to pick up a bunch of chunk plays against that Arizona defense. So they have six straight plays that cover at least 4 yards, and four of those six are first downs, meaning they're over 11 yards. And it results in the Johnny Munt 4-yard touchdown catch from Sam Darnold. At this point, it's 19-13, and the Cardinals are still protecting the lead. Now, Kyler Murray throws an interception to start the fourth quarter. Minnesota uses that for a field goal. Still trailing, though, right? So Arizona, this is getting down to crunch time, protecting a 6-point lead. Minnesota gets the ball back with 3:20 to go. Significant moment in this drive. Vikings are facing a fourth down, and Sam Darnold finds who? Justin Jefferson. He's got a seam between two defenders, and Darnold fires the ball in, and he's able to get the first down yardage and keep that drive alive. And so late in the game, again, still trailing, got to have a touchdown. A field goal is not enough.
Second and two from the Cardinals 5. Takes the snap. Four-man rush. Sam to the right. Caught. And touchdown! He's showtime! And Aaron Jones saved his best for last. We're tied at 22.
And this was a tough game for Aaron Jones. And honestly, it's been a tough stretch for the former Green Bay running back who, I can't remember how many years ago, led the NFL with 20 rushing touchdowns. I mean, this is a really good back. He's been great. He's been real versatile for the Vikings. But he ended up getting benched early in this game because of a fumble. That's something that we're not used to seeing from him on a regular basis. But it's something that Aaron Jones has struggled with this year. Also dropped a touchdown pass. And so for him to get this go-ahead TD in the late stages with Paul Allen on the call on the Vikings radio network puts them up 23-22 with just over a minute to go. It's a bit of redemption for Aaron Jones, who admits, yeah, the fumbling has become a bit of an issue lately.
Just got to go back and look at the film. I can't make any excuses. That's not me. So I'm not going to make an excuse. Go back and look at the film. But I got to be better. I talked with Coach Maude, and he said, we'll figure it out what's going on, we'll correct it, but it's even more frustrating because, like you said, that's not me, and it's happened more than I like recently. So, but I'll get that fixed.
First year with the Vikings, first year with Sam Darnold, he does rave about his quarterback, and again, they connected on that late touchdown.
Sam's a baller. I mean, he's shown it week in, week out, everything good. You need to see to check a box, check any boxes, any questions that anybody still has on him. I feel like he's shown it out there, especially in clutch moments last week, this week as well. When you got to have it, he goes down there, marches us down there, leads the team. And like I said, it was never any disbelief that we wouldn't get it done.
Thing is, it's not just about the offense. As much as Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Jalen Naylor, Sam Darnold, they've played well in stretches, it really is on the defense because the offense isn't putting up enough points and isn't providing a great margin of error. And so, once again, this game comes down to a game-preserving opportunity.
Here it is. The game's on the line against the Arizona Cardinals. Three receivers left, one right. Fourth and 10 for Kyler Murray facing a five-man rush. Kyler, back to pass, throws right, intercepted! Shaq Griffin has won the game! And it's a high five for the Minnesota Vikings. They've won five consecutive games. The final score, 23-22, Minnesota.
Proud of our guys. Got our 10th win, by December 1st, which I think is an accomplishment. Games are hard to win. I do think that's a really, well-coached playoff caliber football team in that other locker room. Want to give the Cardinals a lot of credit. They made it very hard on us. We've got to be a lot better offensively and, see if we can not put ourselves in a hole.
So you hear Kevin O'Connell praising the team for its 10th win. That is significant. It's the 1st of December, and the Vikings have 10 wins. Remember, this is a team that was expecting to transition to a rookie quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, at some point this season. And yet, look at how well they have played. So credit to O'Connell and his staff. They have the second best record in the NFC, along with the Eagles, just one game behind the Lions, if you're talking about the race for top seed, and of course, the race for that home field advantage. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for the Cardinals, they end up sacking Sam Darnold 5 times. They get to him another 8 times. The defense played really well in stretches, but ultimately falls to this 6-6 mark, a 1-point loss that definitely stings. And for the Cardinals, while they're not out of it, this is back-to-back losses. We haven't seen that same consistency that put them on top of the NFC West earlier in the season. Right now, Cardinals and Rams at 6-6. We talked about the Niners, of course, falling to 5-7. Both these teams are looking up at the Seahawks. And I love the fact that you've got defense that slams the doors for these playoff contenders in the NFC. So the Vikings get the second interception off Kyler Murray to end that last second threat by the Cardinals. And of course, one of the plays that you're going to see over and over this week comes courtesy of a former Jet who was back in his stadium where he had a lot of big moments. Leonard Williams, now a Seahawk.
Third down and 7 from the Seattle 9. All stays in the backfield. Again, 3 receivers near side. Adams is slotted on the right. Blitz is coming. Throw inside. It's picked off. Leo Williams coming near side. He's running like a racehorse. He's at midfield. Turns upfield. Has blockers. Holy smokes, are you kidding? Leo Williams is going to take it in for a touchdown. Seahawks. The Seahawks mess up a kick return. They dump it on the defense, and Leo Williams says, I got you covered. Picks it off as he drops back into coverage. Comes up the near sidelines in front of the bench. Picks up blockers and takes it all the way in for a touchdown. Are you kidding me? 21-13, and Williams is going to do it any way he can to help his team win.
I mean, I remember running with it, and I thought I was running fast. But you never know, you know what I mean, in the moment. But all my teammates were hyping me up, saying I was moving on the sideline. And, you know, I looked to my left and right, and once I crossed the 50, I was actually looking to pitch it to somebody. but I seen Spoon and, you know, my whole defense, the whole cavalry, pretty much running down the field, and they were almost more excited for me to get that touchdown than myself, and that was awesome.
First career touchdown for Leonard Williams. Huge, huge play. And, of course, the fact that it was against his former team, the Jets, in MetLife Stadium adds a little juice to it. And he did admit that he's a different player now. He's grown up so much, and he's found a home with the Seahawks. But I do appreciate that the Seahawks, they're getting the defense that they need, and it helps after they make a bunch of special teams mistakes, including giving up a 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to the Jets earlier in the game. But the grittiness of the Seahawks is there, and this is a Mike McDonald defense that is still a work in progress. But they are 7-5 on top of the NFC West. Leonard Williams, and that touchdown with Steve Rabel on Seahawks Radio. I don't know that I would go with racehorse, though. I think I might go with bull at Pamplona more than racehorse. And I love what Leonard or Leo had to say about it after the fact. All right, coming up next, Steelers and Bengals. Did you see shootout? Did you have shootout on your bingo card? Good morning to you. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
This report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Let's begin with Sunday Night Football.
James Cook, the lone setback with Allen under center. Two receivers tight to the formation on the right, one to the left. Here's the handoff to Cook. Through a hole and away and into the secondary. 40, 30, 20. They're not going to get him. James Cook goes 65 yards for a touchdown. Unbelievable.
Chris Brown on Bills Radio. Bills beat the Niners 35-10. Josh Allen and the Bills clinched their fifth straight AFC East title.
This one feels a little bit different. You know, this early in the season, we still got 5 games left. So the cool thing about it, like, you get to go out there, we get to go out there, and we get to play free, right? There's really no repercussions for what we're doing, but at the same time, we're chasing the one seed.
Allen threw 2 touchdown passes and also had a touchdown run. James Cook with a 65-yard touchdown run. For the Niners, running back Christian McCaffrey left the game with a potentially season-ending PCL injury. Elsewhere, Eagles over the Ravens 24-19, Rams 21, Saints 14. In overtime, the Bucs over the Panthers 26-23, Commanders 42, Titans 19, the Seahawks over the Jets 26-21, Colts 25, Patriots 24, Vikings over the Cardinals 23-22, Texans 23, Jaguars 20, the Chargers over the Falcons 17-13, and the Steelers beat the Bengals 44-38. NBA, the Clippers beat the Nuggets 126-122, James Harden 29 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists. Lakers over the Jazz, 105-104. Anthony Davis, 33 points, 27 for LeBron. The Cavs improved to 18-3, beat the Celtics 115-111. Knicks over the Pelicans, 118-85. College basketball, number 22, Xavier, over South Carolina State, 46-43. From baseball, the Mets and pitcher Frankie Montas reportedly agree on a two-year, $34 million deal. I'm Peter Schwartz.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
In the gun, the 36-year-old QB, nine-time Pro Bowler in his first year in a Steelers uniform. He's back to pass. His throw intercepted.
Nice.
Running it back is Cam Taylor-Britt. He's at the 35, the 30, 25, Tenney. Gets a downfield block. Hit the five to the goal line. Touchdown!
Nice.
Bengals, Cam Taylor-Britt with a pick six to put Cincinnati on the scoreboard.
Quick snap and a throw out to Pickens at the 20-yard line. Makes the grab. Heads up the sideline. Eludes a tackler and waltzes it for the score and boots the ball up into the crowd.
Burrow will be under center with Chase Brown lining up behind him back at the 8-yard line. The Bengals have multiple tight ends in. They're on the right side, overloaded to the right. Burrow takes the snap, gives it to Chase Brown.
Yes, sir.
He goes low and he gets into the end zone for the Bengals touchdown.
Bengals showing three-man rush for now. They're going to bring four. Wilson back, looking, lofting towards the end zone. Has a man open, and it is Calvin Austin, banged out of the game on the very first play from scrimmage for the Steelers. Comes back in with another touchdown reception.
Higgins and Yossi Bosch out to the left. Shotgun snap. Burrow to throw. He's back at the 14. He's in trouble. Begins scrambling. A jump pass.
Nice.
Caught by Chase in the back of the end zone. Burrow went airborne. Got enough on the throw. And Ja'Marr Chase is waiting for the touchdown pass.
Wilson in the shotgun. He has Najee Harris to his left. He motions Van Jefferson right to left across the formation. Now he gets a snap. A pitch to Najee Harris to the left side. And Najee Harris finds a crease. And he's into the end zone for the score.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that was crazy. Steelers and Bengals in the first half. It was already 27-21. Are you kidding me? These two teams sitting at 48 points before they hit the postgame locker room. Or the halftime locker room. Actually, that would have been plenty for the postgame, right? Pittsburgh was over 300 yards at the break. And after a Cam Taylor-Britt interception, this was a controversial moment for George Pickens. He appeared to be dragged down by Taylor-Britt. He got really frustrated as Russell went to deliver the football. Pickens is on the ground and Cam Taylor-Britt is able to return it for a score. But the Steelers answer, and they do so with ferocity. Five consecutive scoring drives. Three different Steelers get into the end zone, including George Pickens and Najee Harris. And the Bengals, they're able to keep up as well. We know that this is one thing they do well, and that's fling the ball around. Joe Burrow putting up big numbers. Although, Russell Wilson had the upper hand in the first half. He was already over 250 passing yards, most ever for a half in his entire career. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Pittsburgh, not done coming out of that locker room, finding Pat Freiermuth for a third Russell Wilson touchdown pass. That puts the Steelers up 10. Back-to-back turnovers by Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, he's seeing different passes get tipped. The one that he, I'm trying to think of the two guys. T. Higgins tipped it. Cam Hayward, that's it. Cam Hayward tipped it at the line. His own receiver, T. Higgins, tipped it. And it then gets picked off. Plus, he fumbles after a sack. That gets returned 21 yards for a touchdown. And so Burrow's miscues, but in essence, the offensive line not giving him great protection, that Pittsburgh defense causing misery, right? I mean, it's been the same old story for the Bengals this year. They have to put up a ton of points because the defense, their defense, really can't hold water But then if there's a defense like this one against from the Steelers against the Bengals that knows them well, is familiar with them, plays tough and physical, and is ball hawking, well, then it becomes a more extraordinary task. And Joe Burrow talked about after the game, he can't make mistakes because it's on him to play near perfect football. So, yeah, a couple of different defensive touchdowns, but this one will be remembered more for what Russell Wilson was able to do. Cincinnati does rally in the second half just because, again, this is what Joe Burrow does. They have a couple of quick drives, and he's able to pad his stats essentially. But three touchdowns to go along with three turnovers for Burrow. And so the Pittsburgh defense, TJ Watt, they're wreaking havoc. They have four sacks, 11 quarterback hits, but this time not outshining the offense because Russ goes for a season-high 414 yards. Three touchdowns, the early pick. I know Steelers fans who dislike Mike Tomlin don't want to hear this, but this was the Steelers clinching a 21st consecutive non-losing season with a victory over the Bengals in division.
Can't say enough about the efforts of the guys in that locker room, the splash playmaking. Continually over the course of 60 minutes, we knew it would be required. We even talked about the fourth quarter component. This team we played today always comes storming back.
When you see the defense just respond, make plays for us after we have some great responses. They made a huge play. Obviously, thought Herbig had a great game rushing off the edge. TJ obviously is best in the world. Cam Hayward, you know, our leaders, you know, really stepped up in a huge way today. I think that was really critical.
Russell Wilson praising the defense, even though he had a season-high 414 yards. And as an offense, Steelers go over 500 yards. Remember when Russell Wilson was not starting, didn't have the full health, didn't have the nod, couldn't practice, couldn't get out there on the field, and it was Justin Fields. And the Steelers started out well, though they weren't scoring a lot of touchdowns. It was on the defense. It was on the special teams to protect slight leads and a lot of times settling for field goals. Now, there has been at least one game with the Steelers that I can remember where they won. I think it was the game against the Commanders, right, where they won with all field goals and Russell Wilson was starting. But really, he has opened up the offense in a lot of ways. Now, the Steelers are sitting on top of the AFC North. They still have some tough games ahead of them, including their own division, right? And so this was them getting back on the winning track because they had fallen to the Browns in the snow. They beat the Bengals here. They've got another game against the Browns coming up next weekend. Then it's on the road at the Eagles, at the Ravens versus the Chiefs. You want to know what the Steelers are made of? That is their December gamut. At Philadelphia, at Baltimore, home to Kansas City. Potentially, there could be seeding in the playoffs on the line by the time we get to that point. As for the Bengals, it's a loss season. It's their fourth loss in five games. The number of games in which they've lost by a single score, yeah, it's enough to gut you if you're a Bengals fan, and certainly if you're Joe Burrow. But a lot of times these are self-inflicted wounds. 11 penalty flags along with the three turnovers in this one.
You know, we had a couple false starts. You know, I had two fumbles. Cam Hayward made a great play. He's a great player. Nothing I would have done differently on that one. You know, obviously, we got to take care of the ball better. It starts with me.
Yeah, he says that, and it's true. And he goes on to point out that this is the job of an NFL QB. You have to play near perfect a lot of times. Now, he doesn't throw shade at the defense. He didn't do that. Essentially, what he said is, I've got to play much better than what I'm doing. I've got to set the tone. I've got to be near perfect. And he talked about that earlier in the season too, where they didn't have the margin for error. He has to play almost perfect every week. And sometimes he doesn't because he's human. But it is disheartening inside a locker room when you work your arse off, and you feel like you've put yourself in position to win, but the offense is doing the yeoman share of the work, right? And so you're not getting the help you need from other parts of the football team. Now, the Patriots loss notwithstanding, that was the very first one of the year. Maybe things go differently if they don't start out that way. But they lose to the Patriots at home. That was brutal, right? That's the one that knocked a lot of people out of their survivor pools. Speaking of that, producer Pete, I believe we have a couple people left, and I have promised to bake cookies and send them to our winners, and I've been hearing from a couple who are left, so we're going to have to check. We have multiple islands, so we need to check on who's still standing there this week post-Thanksgiving. But they're now 1-5 at home after dropping games to the Commanders as well as the Ravens, also the Eagles. So they've had a really tough schedule, and it doesn't get a whole lot easier from here if they're just going to finish at 500. We're 3 hours down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.